I'd like to share a few of my own personal thoughts about the popular movie Avatar. This 2009 release was directed by James Cameron, the same fellow behind the blockbuster Titanic. And amazingly, this film has a chance to make $1 billion. It would be, by far, the most profitable film in history. Why do people like it so much? Why have so many people spent their money watching it? Why the fervor? And what is an avatar? Well, if you're used to the world of computers and virtual reality games, you know, an avatar is the way you interact in that virtual world. It is an extension of you, though, of course, it's not actually you. An avatar is really something from Hindu theology. For example, the god Vishnu visits our world as Krishna, and so others see him and interact with him, but Krishna is really a manifestation of the god Vishnu. So it's a word from Hindu theology, which has been used in the world of computers and video games for a long time now. And now we have a whole film named after it. In Avatar, Jake is a paraplegic marine, a military, who is going to visit this planet, Pandora, which is in a star system near the Earth, through an avatar. It's a 10-foot-tall, blue-skinned alien. And his consciousness is in the alien. Well, I don't want to spoil it. If you haven't seen it, I would recommend it. It's certainly extremely well done. Though, actually, to be honest, Jake and his American friends are the real aliens. They're the ones who are alienating everyone else. They're the ones who are trying to break into this planet. The plot centers around the greedy exploitation of this pristine planet Pandora by Americans, and how their efforts are ultimately thwarted, but only after they've brought tremendous destruction. There are a lot of things about this film that were really cool. It's very visual, extremely colorful. And just as the main character, Jake, enters the world of Pandora, as viewers, we feel like we're entering that world. And this is partly because of the special effects achieved through the 3D filming. Now, I regularly wear glasses, so I had to put those red and green 3D glasses on top of my own glasses. So after a couple hours, my nose was starting to hurt. That would be my only real complaint of a physical nature. The effects were superb. What was also very cool is the way the importance of ecology was emphasized, showing the interconnectedness of everything in nature. They had some just amazing insights into how the planet works, how ecosystems interlock, the connectedness of all of life. It was also cool, I guess it's not a new theme, but the way it was an expose of the U.S. military economic machine. The military does the work of the greedy technocrats who pull the levers, and they end up basically bungling what they are trying to do, destroying everything in their way. It's really just unbridled greed. And so, insofar as this film shows the bankruptcy of materialism, it's worth seeing. There's also a lot of symbolism. I don't know how much of this you noticed. I think it depends a little bit on how much you've read of theology or even other languages. The people on this planet Pandora are called the Na'vi. Well, this is the first thing that struck me. Na'vi is like the Hebrew and Arabic word for prophet. It's as though these indigenous peoples were the ones who were really in touch with what's important. They really were in touch with the spiritual world, not these outsiders. And the fact that the planet was named Pandora takes us back to Greek mythology, where Pandora's box is opened and all these troubles come upon the earth. There's only one thing left in the bottom of the box, as I recall, and that was hope, which is actually the way the film ends. The chief deity on the planet is called Ewa. Ewa reminds me of Hawa. Well, it sounds like Hawa. That's the Hebrew word for Eve, as in Adam and Eve, coming from the word live or life. What the Americans are trying to do on this planet is to mine a very valuable mineral. And the mineral is called unobtainium. Well, there's not much, the symbolism there is not very, very deep. This is unobtainium. And so they're going to great lengths to obtain it. As an incarnation, as an avatar, Jake develops empathy. He makes an effort to understand others, and there aren't many who are really trying, and so he wins our admiration. Well, others have seen many parallels with the biblical story of Joshua, and in the notes that accompany this podcast, I'll give you links so you can do some further study. Now, although I really liked the film, it was extremely well done. There were a few problems with it. The earth is an organism. Now, this is a very popular notion in the New Age movement, in Wicca, or nature worship. Mother Earth, or Gaia, is alive. And in Avatar, the inhabitants of Pandora worship Mother Earth. And so you have the worshiping of the creation instead of the creator, which is what idolatry is, Romans 1. And surely, those who worship the earth are no better off morally or in any other way than those who worship God. In fact, it's the opposite. The scriptures show us that when we worship the creation instead of the creator, we're on a slippery moral slide. Also, the creator is a she. It's a I wouldn't say a woman, but it's female. Aya is female. Well, occasionally in the Bible, feminine imagery is used of God. Usually the imagery is masculine. And I'm not saying that I think God is masculine. That just helps us relate to him. God is beyond gender. But to make Ewa a she is really sexism. And it's certainly intended to contradict the view of most religions that believe in one God, who tend to use more masculine imagery. As I said, worshiping the earth is idolatry, but there's another unrealistic thing that's going on in this film. And I would call it the romanticization of indigenous peoples. Because Pandora is like a lush rainforest with mountains and clouds, it's a beautiful place. But with all the rainforest, it reminds us of Amazonia. And just to say the Amazon and the rainforest, I think, conjures up a world of images which probably don't require any more explanation right now. Yet, in what I know of history, as far as imperialists, colonizers, what we have is one civilization supplanting another, typically Europeans coming to the New World, though this happens all over the planet. And the way it was presented originally during this period of imperialist expansion is that those coming from Europe were far superior to the indigenous peoples. Now there's a backlash. For many decades, the indigenous peoples have been portrayed as superior, morally at least, to those who were exploiting them. But I'm not really sure that works. Indigenous societies are typically very corrupt, with lots of sin, just as much sin as those who would take advantage of them. And so in my view, for example, when the Catholic Church, the missionizers come to Brazil, it's really just one corrupt civilization supplanting another. And this is not to justify how the Europeans laid claim to the Americas, enslaving, killing, robbing those who had already been there for 10 or 15,000 years. I'm not here to justify this Eurocentric perspective, but there's a lot of darkness on both sides. And the idea that the natives are more advanced than their would-be conquerors is quite interesting. I don't think it's true, though, certainly not in terms of technology. Now, in the film Avatar, the denizens of Pandora are more moral than their exploiters. And yet, part of their morality is at an animal level. For example, Jake and Natiri, he's the incarnation, he's the avatar, the marine, who's visiting the planet through this remote body. And she is the daughter of a chief. She's a very important person on the planet. And eventually, they spend so much time together, no surprise, they fall in love. And after a sexual union one night, the next day they tell the family that they've mated. See, marriage, where's marriage? That's gone. Now it's mating. Of course, mating, I think of a lion and a lioness, or a couple of dogs. I mean, mating is at an animal level. So we're getting rid of all the trappings of institutional religion and morality. I think the film also falls into the woolly-minded thinking of the New Age movement. And again, I've given you a number of links in the notes that accompany. I don't want to end on a negative note. I already told you I really like it. I think that this film, though, gives us a good idea of what many people are thinking. The fact that it's so popular shows that it's touched a chord. It's really resonated with the emphasis on ecology, the emphasis on finding meaning in the world, not just through things, but through relationship and through spirituality. What is useful? Well, I think this film makes Christians think about missions, about awareness and the effort required to connect with others, and in a way, how ugly it can be if we don't make those efforts. And that's brought out in living color by the bad guys in this film. Avatar is also good because it reminds us of our ecological responsibility. Now, this is not a theme that most Christians talk about a lot. In fact, often I find the attitude, well, the earth's all going to burn anyway, so what's a little pollution? It kind of seems irrelevant. But this is certainly not a biblical attitude, not if you read Genesis 1, Revelation 22, or all the chapters in between. Ecological responsibility is a biblical theme, and perhaps we'll have another podcast dealing with that specifically. Another thing I think is very useful about this film is the implicit warning against materialism. Materialism presents an elusive dream. Happiness and meaning through wealth is, well, that's unobtainable. It's a pipe dream. We'll never find it. Those are my thoughts about Avatar. If you haven't seen the film, I hope this will give you some thoughts to guide you and give you some inspiration to take a look at this blockbusting film. And please understand, these are just my opinions. Others will see more things in there. I'm not claiming to have the last word on it, but I did want to share some of my personal response.